ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती मैष्टिके श्रीमद्भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो चैप्टर 10 Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text 25. Gatim Jigishataha Pado Ruruhate Abhikamikam Padabhyam Yagyaha स्वयं हव्यं कर्मभिः क्रियते नृभिः गतिं जिगीषित पादौ गतिं जिगीषत पादौ रुरुहाते भिधा भीकामिकम् रुरुहाते भीकामिकम् पदभ्यं यज्ञ स्वयं हव्यं कर्मभि क्रियते नृभि गतिं जिगीषित पादौ रुरुहाते भिकामिकम् पदभ्यं यज्ञ स्वयं हव्यं कर्मभि क्रियते नृभि गतिं जिगीषित पादौ रुरुहाते भिकामिकम् पदभ्यं यज्ञ स्वयं हव्यं कर्मभि क्रियते नृभि
गतिं जिगीषत पादौ
matajis. Gatim, movement, jigishataha, so desiring, pado, the legs, ruru hate, being manifested, abhikamikam, purposeful, padbhyam, from the legs, yagyaha, Lord Vishnu, Swayam, personally Himself, Abhyam, the duties, Karma Bhi, by one's occupational duty, Kriyate, cause to be done, Nribhi, by different human beings. Their translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thereupon, because of His desiring to control movement, His legs became manifested. And from the legs, the controlling deity named Vishnu was generated. By His personal supervision of this act, all varieties of human beings are busily engaged in dutiful occupational sacrifice. Please repeat after me. Thereupon, because of His desiring to control movement, His legs became manifested. And from the legs, the controlling deity, named Vishnu, was generated. By His personal supervision of this act, all varieties of human beings are busily engaged in dutiful occupational sacrifice. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Every human being is engaged in his particular occupational duty, and such activities are visible as men go hither and thither. This is very prominently visible in big cities of the world. People are going all over the cities with great concern from one place to another. This movement is not limited only to the cities, but is also visible outside the cities from one place to another, or from one city to another, by different means of vehicles. Men are moving by cars and rails on the roads, by subways within the earth, and by planes in the sky for the purpose of business success. But in all these movements, the real purpose is to earn wealth for comfortable life. For this comfortable life, the scientist is engaged, the artist is engaged, the engineer is engaged, the technician is engaged, all in different branches of human activity. But they do not know how to make the activities purposeful to fulfill the mission of human life. Because they do not know this secret, all their activities are targeted towards the goal of sense gratification without control. And therefore, by all this business, they are unknowingly entering into the deep region of darkness, because they have been captivated by external energy of the Supreme Lord. They have completely forgotten the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And thus, they have taken it for granted that this life, as presently manifested under the conditions of material nature, is all in all for enjoying the highest amount of sense gratification. But such a wrong conception of life cannot give anyone the desired peace of mind. And thus, in spite of all advancement in knowledge, by use of the resources of nature, no one is happy in this material civilization. The secret is that at every step they should try to execute sacrifices towards the path of world peace. The Bhagavad Gita 18:45 and 46 also advises the same secret in the following verse. Svese karman abhirataha saṃsiddhim labhate naraha sva karma nirata siddhim jatha bindati tachrinu jata prabrittir bhutanam jena sarvam idam tatam sva karmana tam abharcha siddhim bindati manavaha. The Lord said to Arjuna, just hear from me how one can attain the highest perfection of life simply by discharging his specified occupational duty. Man can attain the highest perfection of life but worshipping the Supreme Lord and by performing sacrifice for the sake of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is all-pervading and by whose control every living being acquires his desired facilities according to his personal according to his personal propensity. There is no harm in having different propensities in life because every human being is proportionately independent to chalk out the plan of his life in different occupations. But one should make it a point in his life to know perfectly well that he is not independent absolutely. One is certainly under the control of the Supreme Lord and under different agencies. Knowing this, one should make it a point that by his work and by result of his labor, his service, he serves the Supreme Lord as prescribed in the authorities, prescribed by the authorities expert in transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. For performing such occupational duties of life, the leg is most important instrument for the body, because without the help of the legs, one cannot move from one place to another, and therefore the Lord has special control over the legs of all human beings which are meant for performing yajñas. Gatim jigi shato pado ruru hate bhikamikam padbhyam yajña svayam habhyam karma bhi kriyate nirbhi. Thereupon, because of his desiring to control movement, his legs became manifested, and from the legs the controlling deity named Vishnu was generated. By his personal supervision of this act, all varieties of human beings are busily engaged in dutiful occupations, dutiful occupational sacrifice. So, now, it has been described how, due to Mahavishnu's desire, different manifestations became manifested, different things, different activities, etc. Became how it is due to him, due to his desire, that everything expanded. He desires and it happens. So his desire for movement, gatim jigishato, his desire for movement gave rise to his feet. And not only his feet became manifest, but his legs became manifested. And from the leg, the controlling deity Vishnu was generated. So the Vishnu aspect of the Lord is at his legs. And by his personal supervision of this act, varieties of human beings are busily engaged in dutiful occupational sacrifices. So, the gati, the movement, is synonymous to action. Action, there are two types of actions, the subtle actions and gross actions. The gross actions are out of gross movement. And subtle actions are also movement, but they are subtle. Like mind moves, when the mind thinks, mind moves, intelligence moves. Just as light moves, electricity moves, everything, every action is synonymous to movement. So, Prabhupada is pointing out here that in this nature, we see that everyone is moving. Everyone is moving. Especially nowadays we see Prabhupada is mentioning in big cities, but here now we can see that everywhere, even in the villages, even in the highways, even in the small roads, everywhere there is movement. Previously they used to move on foot, now they are moving by cars. Everywhere there is. Because everyone is busy with some activity. Now, what are those activities meant for? Those activities are meant for achieving something, doing something. And why everyone is trying to do something? Because everyone is trying to enjoy. Today's world has been so intensely mortified by this desire for enjoyment that this everywhere there is intense movement. Not only there is movement by cars and other vehicles, not only the people are traveling themselves, people are transporting things, especially now we see in the highways, the roads that are connecting different cities or different parts of the planet to different cities, different parts of the lands to different cities are due to with the roads, and those roads are very much controlled. Those roads are filled with big vehicles, trucks. There are small cars for personal movement, but there are big trucks also. Most of the highways are actually occupied by big trucks. And what are they doing? They're carrying things from one place to another. And not only the trucks, their movement underground through subways. Their movement on the surface by railways. Their movement on the ocean, through the ocean by ships. When you go to big cities, we can see there are so many ships on the harbor. Every port, big port, there are hundreds of ships loading, unloading. And on the air, there are movements by planes. They are either transporting people or transporting things. Like, and why? Because everyone is trying to enjoy, and these are the arrangements for enjoyment. Previously, even few years back, the imported things were so rare in India. Imported things were a commodity of luxury. But now, there are so many imported things. Practically everything is being imported. Even things that are available here, they are being imported. Why? Because they taste better. Like yesterday I was thinking, I was telling the devotees in Delhi that they got me some apples from Kashmir. This was Kashmiri apple. I remember for when we were young, Kashmiri apple, the apple from Kashmir was considered to be the best apples in India. And they were a rare commodity, Kashmiri apple. Generally apples come from the Himachal. And I was telling them that actually now in Ujjain they bring me apples from China. They gave me apples from China. Kashmiri apple was a rare commodity, but now apples are coming from China. Why? Because those white people are buying those apples at a much more expensive price? Because they taste better. Or they are cheaper. So either they taste better, they pay more price, or they buy them because they are cheap. In America, everywhere, it's all made in China, made in China. Everything is Chinese. They are household commodities. Their doors are made in China, their windows are made in China, their beds are made in China. The sofas are made in China. Their bed sheets are made in China. Their trousers are made in China. Their coats are made in China. America is flooded with Chinese goods. Why? Because they're cheap. So cheap means more profit. Somebody buys it to make more profit. So why all these arrangements? Because everyone is trying to enjoy. And what is their mode of enjoyment? How do they want to enjoy? They want to enjoy through their sense gratification, giving pleasure to the senses. Like, this is a natural propensity of human beings. But now this desire for sense gratification is becoming more and more intense. More and more intense. That is the unfortunate state of affairs of this world. But Prabhupada is giving us a solution. Everybody wants to act. Now you may say that, well, Maharaj, you are saying that everyone is trying moving, you are criticizing their movement. But just the other day you also went to London in a plane. And that also only for 6 days and you came back. Now is there any difference? Yes. The difference is that we are not moving for sense gratification. We are moving, our movement is to serve Krishna. So that is the difference. That now why we are trying to serve Krishna? Let us see why, what is the difference between their going to London and our going to London. Actually people nowadays go, like I remember I used to know somebody in Kuwait, very rich person. And he used to go to London every weekend. Every Saturday he used to go to London, and he used to take a flight on Sunday night and come back to Kuwait. Why he did that? Because in Kuwait there was no enjoyment those days. They flew to London. On weekends, on a holiday, what they would do? They would enjoy. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Gaurnithai ki jai. Every weekend they would go. And what they would do? They would enjoy. They would probably, when people like to enjoy, what do they want to do? They fly into the place, stay in a big hotel. And then they go to the restaurant, eat all kinds of things. Then they would drink. Then they would go to a movie or go to a theater. London is very famous for theater, all the different places for sightseeing. And then in the evening they would go to the discotheques or nightclubs and drink and have all kinds of endeavor for enjoyment. And so that is why people generally go to the big cities for sense gratification. Whereas the devotees of ISKCON, when they go, why do they go? I can mention yesterday the purpose of my visit to London. We had a big ceremony for the inauguration of the construction of a goshala. Big goshala. That goshala will cost us 2.6 million pounds. That means that goshala will cost 20 crores. And there will be another 20 crores for other things. Just to build the goshala is costing 20 crores. Why? Because we want to show this world the importance of cow protection. So in order to do that, we did the groundbreaking ceremony. The groundbreaking, Bhumi Puja. And people were invited from all over. There were more than 500 leading people came. Ministers came, member of parliament came. The mayor of the city came. All these people were invited. And we had a wonderful fire sacrifice. And so they invited me to go there to be the chief guest. So that's why we went. Now let us see what happens when somebody goes to get sense gratification. What one gets at the end of sense gratification? At the end of sense gratification, he gets suffering. And that's why it is illusory. The illusion, the example of illusion is a mirage. If a traveler loses his way in the middle of a desert, and he is lost in the middle of a desert. Desert is very hot. And at a hot place, dry place, one naturally feels thirsty. And there in the desert there is no water. How will you feel if you are very thirsty and there is no water? Have you ever faced a situation like that? You are very thirsty, but there is no water to drink. then he'll, like a madman, he'll start to look for water, search for water. And then in the mirage, in the desert, there is a thing called mirage. How many of you know what a mirage is? Raise your hands. How many of you do not know what a mirage is? And how many of you finding it difficult to pull your hand out under your chadar? How many of you didn't raise your hands? Raise your hands. How many of you did not raise your hand when I asked? I personally saw so many of you did not raise your hands. Okay, once again, how many of you know what is a mirage? And how many of you do not know what is a mirage? How many of you know in the Bengali word, Morichika? Okay, now it's correct. Okay, mirage means Morichika. Tum kon jante ho, Mrig Trisha kya hai? How many of you now know what is a mirage? Okay. So, mirage in the hot sand, it appears that it is water due to refraction. In water you get reflection, but there is a thing called refraction, movement of light. Reflection is the the image of an object in a reflectable medium, like water, mirror. In a mirror, what do you see? When you stand in front of a mirror, you see reflection. You see your own image, right? When you stand in front of a mirror. Putting on tilak. You see the reflection. But if there is a situation when you are in the middle of a desert and you see your face, how will you feel? And that face is shaking. What it will look like? You won't think that it's a mirror. If it's shaking, when it shakes, then what happens? Where does the reflection shake? In water. So in the middle of a mirror desert, if you see a palm tree which is upside down and it is shaking, what will you think? You'll think it's water. And you are thirsty, what will you do? You'll run after it. But will you get water out of that? Why not? Because there is no water. It is only the impression of the water. Now this material nature has been described like a mirage. Why? How many of you know why this material nature has been described as a mirror, as a oasis, as a mirage? Okay, Ganga Narayan. Okay. Very good. And Sitaram?
It's not real.
It's like a mirage because it's not real. Just as in mirage there is no water. Is it real? Is the mirage real water? No. It appears to be water, but it's not water. Similarly, in the material nature, it appears that we can enjoy, but we cannot enjoy. What one tries to get out of that, one doesn't get. Like if you're very hungry, and if you see the reflection of food, in a room. You enter into a room and you see such beautiful table, huge table, the size of this hall, and filled with all kinds of beautiful, delicious food. And you're hungry, you didn't eat for 3 days. What will you do? You'll run to get that, isn't it? So you entered from there, you came there and you saw there's all kinds of food. But as soon as you tried to enter, what happened? You wanted to get the food, but you cannot. Actually, that is a mirror. Although the impression of the food is there, can you satisfy your hunger through that reflection? But you're thinking that, well, I didn't try hard enough, so let me try more. Now what will happen? The more you try, the more frustrated you'll become. Then you think that you didn't try hard enough. It was not hard enough. Then you walk 10 feet, 10 steps away, and then you charge. What will happen? To the window? To the mirror? You'll get hit. You hurt yourself. So in the material nature, our effort to enjoyment is like that. We are trying to get it, but the more we try, the more we get hurt. The more we try, the more we get hurt. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? At least one thing you can do is sit down and think, what am I going to do now? I'm trying to enjoy and look what's happening. Then somebody comes, looks strange. His head is shaved. He has strange marks on his forehead, and he wears a kind of dress, although in India someday everybody used to wear this dress, but today he looks strange because he is wearing the typical Indian dress, dhoti and kurta or sari. Nowadays people don't wear dhoti and kurta. Isn't it? I notice in the temple, even now we can see, apart besides the devotees, how many are wearing dhoti and kurta? In Ujjain, small little place, here everyone is becoming sahib. Everyone wears trousers and shirt, jacket. 20 years back it was not like that. But today, if somebody wears dhoti and kurta, he looks strange. Anyway, that strange person comes to us, and what does he tell us? Look, this is a mirror. It's a reflection that we are seeing, it's not the real thing. But the real thing is there. Since the reflection is there, the real thing must be there. Isn't it? Since if the reflection shows food, that means that real food must be somewhere. So where is the real food? In the mirror or in the opposite direction from the mirror? That is what we have to understand, that yes, real food is there. And the real food, in order to get the real food, you have to go to the other direction, not in this direction. We have to turn around from that. And what is the real way to enjoy? The real way to enjoy is being prescribed here in Srimad Bhagavatam through sacrifice, through being engaged in our occupational duty for the pleasure of Vishnu, not for our sense pleasure, but Vishnu's pleasure. We try go for our sense pleasure, sense enjoyment, what will happen? We'll end up being miserable. We go for Vishnu's enjoyment, what will we get? Then only we'll get the real enjoyment. That has been prescribed here, that has been advised here, and in the purport that's what Prabhupada is telling. That everyone is gatim. Everyone is moving. Everyone is moving. In so many, through so many different arrangements. And they are not only moving themselves, they are moving so many things for their enjoyment. They are getting things for their enjoyment from different parts of the world. Like, as I was mentioning, like, London actually reminds me of one very typical example of this arrangement for sense gratification. It's nice, very, in a way it's nice what they're doing in I was there in London and they had all kinds of fruits in the middle of winter. There it's winter now, but what I was getting mangoes, I was getting lychees, I was getting chiku, I was getting all these different types of foods, different types of fruits. And lychees and mangoes you don't get even in India now in the middle of. But what to speak of lychees and mangoes in the middle of winter in London? They're coming from South Africa. They've flown in. Then they had different vegetables, Indian vegetables. You get parwal there. You get jhinga. You get loki. All are being transported from different parts of the world. Just one place. Now the thing is, what should we do? They're bringing it for their sense gratification. London has many Indians and they like Indian vegetables. So they are bringing them. But what we are doing, we are cooking them and offering them to Krishna. They are bringing them for their sense gratification, we are using them for sacrifice, for japa. Offering it to Krishna means for Krishna's pleasure, and that is japa. So in this age, the yajna is Sankirtan yajna. Sankirtan means glorifying Krishna and engaging everything in Krishna's service. So we can do that. And by doing that, if we do that, then what happens? How do you feel when you get something, offer it to Krishna? How do you feel? Don't we try to make all the arrangements in this way? We consider what would be some nice dress to get for the deities. And we get the dresses made in a very beautiful way. Then we think of some ornaments. We think of flowers. We take different other paraphernalia. And we decorate the Lord with all that. And then when we see his beautiful form, how do we feel? We feel happy. And this happiness, this feeling of... And then we offer all kinds of beautiful, delicious prasad, bhoga, to the Lord. The pujaris cook for cook 3-4 main offerings, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the Lord, and offer them to the Lord. And how do they feel when they do that? Arunaksha, how do you feel? You feel that. And then, not only that, the pujaris and the cooks, they make nice prasad, offer to the Lord, and those bhogas, and then they come back as prasad. And then you eat that. How do you feel? When the food is nice, how do you feel? When the prasad is nice, you feel happy. So this is how the Lord reciprocates. And not only He reciprocates by giving the prasad in this way, He gives prasad in various other ways. One of the biggest prasad is success. You try to do something for the Lord and He makes it successful. He makes all the arrangements so that your desire to serve Him becomes fulfilled. How do you feel? So in this way, the real enjoyment is derived by serving the Lord. You serve Him and you will get what you want. Yes, you are hungry, you will get all the food. You are thirsty, you will get all the drink. And whatever you want, the Lord will provide. So just serve Him. All your actions should be offered to Him as sacrifice. Do it for Him. That will become the sacrifice. Sacrifice means doing it for the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord. And when He reciprocates, then that becomes the source of joy. It may not be so joyful to cook the food for the Lord and offer it to Him, unless one is very advanced. It may not be that joyful, just doing it for Him, but when He reciprocates, that becomes the source of joy. You have offered the bhoga to the Lord, but when it comes back in the form of prasad and you eat it, then you feel the joy. And in this way, the reciprocation of the Lord is the source of joy. On our part, we make the offering. In His part, He reciprocates. And this reciprocation ultimately leads to love. And that love is the source of real joy. Ananda. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnam rita ashwadanam. Purnam rita ashwadanam. Purna amrita ashwadanam. Tasting the complete nectar at every step. So this is the result, this is the reward of being engaged in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the meaning of sacrifice. We do not have to become inert. We have the propensity to move. We have the propensity to act. We have the propensity to do things. But we have to know how to use them for the sake of the Lord's pleasure, for the pleasure of the Lord. That's what we have to learn. Do it for Him, and you will see what the result is. Do it for yourself, you will see what the result is. And now you decide. Sometimes when devotees don't like the temple life, I tell them, go. Go. Try to enjoy it. And then they go and see how they're enjoying. Then they come back. Guru Maharaj, I want to come back. Anyway, if they learn the lesson, then I don't mind taking them back. But the thing is, my point is that when you are in the temple, try to understand what you are meant to do. Don't stay in a temple and try to enjoy through your sense gratification. Temple is not a place for sense gratification. The outside world is the place for sense gratification. Temple is the place for service. Serve and you will enjoy. Try to gratify your senses, you will suffer. That's why we don't allow you to have sense gratification. But you get the real enjoyment, real sense gratification in the form of devotional service. We are not saying don't enjoy. You have your senses. We are not saying that don't give pleasure to your senses. We are not saying that suffer. When it is cold, we are not saying that you have to stay in the cold room, cold floor without any blanket or quilt. When it gets cold, we make it a point that you have your thick mattress and you have your proper quilt so that you don't feel cold. We make a point that you have your jackets and pullovers and shawls and jumpers. We are not unconcerned about the need for the body. But the real thing is that we must understand what is the purpose of our existence. What is the purpose of our being in the temple? It's a practical approach towards the ultimate fulfillment of our existence. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Prabhupada. Anybody have any question? Yes, Paru. That's why you need direction, you need guidance of the senior devotees, you need guidance of your spiritual leaders, right? And they teach you, they show you how to traverse that path, how to progress in that direction. From the very beginning, you are not expected to know what the ultimate perfection of life is. But if you come to the real path, then you'll be properly, systematically guided. Like when you go to school, from the very first day you become a master. No, you go to school, first you learn the alphabet, the words, the numbers, and then gradually you progress. Now who guides you? Your teacher. Teachers. Similarly, on the spiritual path also, you need teachers who are going to guide you.
It is hard for us to contain the less yoga of Vishnu, that demigod Vishnu or Supreme Person called Vishnu.
Yes. Actually, there is no difference. The difference is in his perception, in our perception. When he is seen from a material point of view as the maintainer of the creation, because that creation aspect is temporary, and because he is assuming the role of controlling or maintaining, then he is classified as the demigod, the Vishnu as a deva. But the personality is the same. Like sometimes the principal in the school may go and give a class. So when he gives the class, he is seen as a teacher. But he is actually the principal. As a principal, he is a teacher as well as a principal. Vishnu under all circumstances is Vishnu. although he is sometimes classified as a demigod, because of his role in relation to this material nature. Yes.
Just like our eyes debate on seeing the, when Lord sees it, we can see. So how do we understand that we move to our legs and Lord's conscious desire to move?
We have to understand that all these, you see, everything is a matter of consciousness. It is due to our consciousness that we want to move. Right? And that consciousness is coming from the Supreme Consciousness, Krishna's consciousness, Vishnu's consciousness. And in this way it is linked. But our movement is not Vishnu's movement. We can't say that because I am moving, Vishnu is moving. Right? It is the tendency, the propensity, the desire for movement is coming from here. Everything that we have is coming from here. Everything that we desire is a result of His desire. And our consciousness is a result of His consciousness. So, today, Sitaram Prabhu will be leaving Ujjain after 1 year of his sabbatical here, along with his family. They are leaving today. What time are you leaving, Sitaram? Five thirty. Okay. So I was thinking that we should give them a farewell. So let's have a feast today. I was asking Ganga Narayan. He told me that you are being invited by all the householder devotees different days. Do you have any invitation today?
No.
Okay, good. So you are invited by the temple today. So today let there be a feast. Is it too short a time to organize a nice feast? We can arrange that. And the feast will be at 2:30. Then we can meet at 2 o'clock then to have a little farewell party to Sitaram. Sitaram, we have been very happy that you came and very happy to see the way you have set a beautiful example of commitment to Krishna consciousness. And I know many devotees who knew you from before, not here, mainly in South Africa, they gave up on you. They thought you were a lost cause. Sometimes when I used to suggest that they should try to engage you and all, they felt that it would be impossible, because it's understandable also, because you also changed so much at that time. Sitaram became a devotee in 83. He became a devotee in 83, and when did you leave ISKCON? In 86. And then in 2007, Sitaram came back. He came to Ujjain. It was in 2007 that he... It's February 2007. Right. And now if anybody sees Sitaram, will anybody feel that Sitaram ever left ISKCON? No. And there was reasons why he left. he got, I mean, there's reason, I mean, they're very justifiable why he left. And because ISKCON was at that time was going through a very difficult phase. After Prabhupada's disappearance, the leaders of ISKCON made many mistakes. And so, as a result of that, many devotees left the movement. And Sitaram was one of them. But that is the past. That's the history today. Long past. But what really matters is now. And you have set such a beautiful example of your commitment to Krishna consciousness. And ultimately everything has its reason. Right? You left and you got a... Krishna has arranged so many wonderful things for you. And the ultimate wonderful arrangement was a very beautiful family. With a very good, committed wife and three beautiful children. And ultimately what really matters is a burning desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over. So it's very nice that you came, committed yourself in such a wonderful way for one full year. Sometimes I told Sitaram that now he can... I was kind of satisfied. Actually, I made a condition with Sitaram. I told him that you come to India. And I made a condition. Before you come to India, you have to shave up. Sitaram not only had long hair before, he had long matted hair. That practically went up to his knees. And he did that. He shaved up before he came to India. And devotees told me, like before he came, he gave a class in Cape Town Temple. And everyone was spellbound with your class. It was so powerful, it was so profound, it was so Krishna conscious. So it's a wonderful, wonderful experience, or wonderful example that you are setting. And I'm confident that when you go back, you'll be able to do a lot for Srila Prabhupada and this movement. Yeah, as I was saying, I made a condition that Sitaram has to come and stay in India for 1 year. Because I feel that he has to go through that period of reforming, and 1 year would be the right time. So, but then when I became confident that Sitaram is now, he has become pakka. So I told Sitaram, now you can go back to South Africa. But Sitaram said, no, I'll stay for one full year, and after I complete that tenure, then only I'll go back. And so Sitaram now is ready to go back to South Africa. And he also has many plans, and I'm sure Krishna will fulfill those plans, because therefore Krishna's own interest, why he won't fulfill the desires of a devotee when he tries to spread his glory, spread his movement and benefit this world. Anyway, so at 2:30 we'll have a brief, 2 o'clock we'll have a brief get together, and 2:30 we'll have a
feast. Yesterday I got such a nice present from the SP, because you know I met him the day before when we went through our departure papers. And he started asking some basic questions. So I started firing away. You know, and 2 hours later, he didn't want me to leave the first day. And I said, no, we have to go, I have to pack. So he called me and I missed it and said, oh, please.
speak Sarasvati for 2 hours on the message. And at the end of it, you know, he was just saying that now he has a clear understanding of what it is all about. And I realized at that time that I had been here for a year and I wasn't exposed to the top echelons of Indian society, because they're very eager to hear, but we have to be capable of preaching to them on that level.
Now you have to. Now you are faced with a big choice, actually: India or South Africa.
But it was wonderful to meet that quality person and see that in his potential he's hidden.
Yeah.
They themselves don't even know the potential they have, but they're very literate, they're very educated, and wonderful to preach to.
Very good point. You see, there is also another point, like, that's why we need Western devotees. We need non-Indians. If we present it, they'll feel that we are being fanatical. Because everybody speaks like that. My way is the best way. Right? But when they see that a neutral person who had nothing, no connection with the Indian culture, has been so profoundly affected, then they look at it in a different way.
He was
actually, he's an amazing person. Yeah, Ganganayan told me. Yeah, when we were driving, he told me. Yeah, he's a very nice person.
He was
actually
astonished.
Yeah.
He said to me at the end that, you know, your gift is clarity. And when you speak, one immediately understands everything about these matters. And that clarity is what is clear up to me.
And this clarity is a result of one's own conviction, one's own understanding. If we don't understand, then we beat around the bush. But if we understood, then presentation will be crystal clear. Anyway, now that you made your choice, okay, I'll stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari.